I'm almost at a loss for words. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, there's enough that is going on around us that it's so disturbing in so many ways. And maybe it's not touching our lives as directly as it is others. But I think the closer we draw to God, the greater the compassion He puts in our hearts for one another. And when someone else is suffering, we suffer. And hopefully when someone else is happy, we can be happy with them and for them. And I think all of this is possible only because we really do serve a wonderful God. So this morning, I'm going to focus on a few verses in Psalm 33. And I want to talk about our wonderful God in the sense of Him being our Creator. God is the Creator. So let's take a look at verse number 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. I remember when I was going to church as a child and as a teenager. As I've mentioned and shared with you before, I wasn't brought up in a home where we read the Bible together or prayed together. And I don't really remember until I was in my teenage years even reading the Bible much when I wasn't at church. But the church that I attended, actually, we met 4 times a week. So I was in church a lot, and the pastors that I sat under, it wasn't uncommon for them to preach at least 45 minutes or more. So 4 times a week, 45 minutes or more, all the singing that went along with it, I heard a lot about God. And over again, I would hear references read in the Bible where God was called by different names, and I began to realize, okay, God has a lot of different names in the Bible. But then as time went on, I began to notice that the word Lord in the Old Testament, in so many references, it's capitalized. And so I began to wonder, well, what is that all about? And today you can Google it and you can get some good answers really quick. Back then it was a little bit more of an effort as a teenage boy trying to figure this stuff out. And I remember sitting down with my pastor and talking about it a little bit. And I was, I guess, shocked to hear that that particular word was a way of representing God's personal name. And then as I've shared with you in messages before, the way it was written in Hebrews, in the Hebrew scriptures, it was really only 4 consonants, no vowels. So you had the letters YHWH. And you say, well, how do you say it? Well, at one time in history, the Jewish people did pronounce this name. And yet, as we read in the Bible and we see it illustrated so clearly and unfortunately, the Jewish people drifted from God a lot. You talk about an up and down relationship with their Creator, with their Maker. They obviously had one, and that's somewhat characteristic of lives still today. But after an extended time of being away from God and God calling them back to Him, one of the things that really caught their attention is one of the 10 commandments in Exodus. It says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord, your God." And that became a focal point for what we would call maybe their spiritual revival as a people. And so out of respect, they wouldn't even pronounce the name. And so the years go by, the name is not being pronounced. And actually the pronunciation of God's personal name was lost in antiquity. So move forward and you have people who are trying to rediscover, how do you say this? What did it mean? And those kind of questions were coming to mind. So we had the fortunate situation where linguists and Bible scholars teamed up and started working together to figure out what can we do with this. And that gets my attention too, because let me just say this as a sidestep for a moment. Wouldn't it be great in our country if Republicans and Democrats could work together? Wouldn't it be great in our country if Christians would make a greater effort to just simply love one another, because the Bible says it's that love we have for one another, which is the greatest testimony maybe to the world and what it means to know God and to be like God. So I won't jump on that soapbox right now, but because of what linguists and Bible scholars were able to do, they selected two vowels, the letter A and the letter E, and they inserted those letters into those four consonants. And so now we have this word that's spelled out, YAHWEH. And for the most part, the majority of people are going to pronounce it as Yahweh. And you say, well, what does it mean? Again, there's so much mystery wrapped up in some of this. But here's something that we gather from what that word means. Yahweh is the eternal one. And what that simply means is he's always existed, and there will never be a time when he will not exist. Yahweh is the self-existing one. And I want to emphasize that because it underscores the fact God is not dependent upon his creation in any way. And literally, folks, he is the creator of all things that exist. So I want to read Psalm 33:6 again and then walk into this conversation that this is what the Lord has said to us about everything that we see and all the things that we don't see. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, Yahweh, the eternal one, the existing one, the heavens were made, their starry host, by the breath of his mouth. This next point I want to make, it references back to the 20th century. I want you to stop and think about something for a moment. We are 20 years in to the 21st century. So let's just sort of scroll back for a moment and we'll go back to 1963. One of the greatest scientific discoveries ever was made in that particular year. There were two physicists that teamed up together and they detected what has become known as cosmic microwave background radiation. And I'm not going to try to give you a lesson in all of that this morning for the sake of time, but that one discovery has prompted people now who do not even have faith, who do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. That one single discovery has prompted people to come away with the opinion, the belief, the theory that the universe actually did have a beginning. And guess what the name of that theory is? The Big Bang Theory. And we use that in the 21st century. And I remember when the TV program came on and it began to show up in news and things along that line. And I wasn't necessarily a fan, but Karen is. And so eventually I was swept into the world of the Big Bang Theory. And so now on TV, I know who Sheldon and Amy are. I know who Leonard and Penny are. I know who Howard and Bernadette are. I know who Raj and Stewart are. And maybe some of you do too. The Big Bang Theory. That word, when it first began to surface back in the 20th century, Christians were up in arms. Christians took a lot of offense to that. I think in some cases it was just simply because they didn't understand. But I also think because there were others that even though this particular discovery was becoming mainstream in science, there were still people who were not willing to acknowledge that, okay, if there was a beginning, there must be someone before the beginning who would be the creator. And so, yes, there was then and there is now people who believe now in the Big Bang Theory, but they do not believe in God. I've said all that to say this. One of those men who discovered that background noise, his name is Arno Penzias. And I'd like to read a few things that he has said. The universal background noise is a moment of discrete creation from nothing. He was a co-winner of a Nobel Prize award because of his discovery. But this same man, renowned physicist, he has also said, the best data we have are exactly what I would have predicted had I had nothing to go on but the five books of Moses, the Psalms, or the Bible as a whole. We live in a world where a lot of times God's dismissed, creation is laughed at, and yet I think sometimes it's important for us to know some of the greatest minds in the world, some of the people coming up with the most groundbreaking discoveries are people who have an amazing faith in an almighty God. So I wanted to share that with you for a moment, but let me read some verses to you that we're familiar with. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If there's any of you who know when the beginning was, please raise your hand and please let the rest of us know. I'm going to easily put myself in the camp. I have no idea of when that beginning actually was. But I believe that statement, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So I may not know when, but I'm extremely confident in answering at least part of that question of how, according to Psalm 33:6, by the breath of his mouth. Go to verse 9 in Psalm 33. We read that a moment ago. It says, for he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. For a lot of us, we speak and no one listens. We talk and nothing happens. That is not the story of God. Reading in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, the New Living Translation says, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So you're maybe wondering, well, does the preacher believe in the Big Bang Theory? Well, the TV show is pretty cool. And the theory is not that bad either. I'm glad it's labeled as a theory. But I've read before, but I want to bring it back into this message. It's scientists trying to explain that maybe in a way that layman would understand what they were talking about. Here's this incredible description of creation that tracks with the idea of the Big Bang Theory that I came across a few years back. And sometimes I enjoy going back and reading it just to try to imagine. So let me read it to you. In a single blinding pulse, a moment of glory much too swift and expansive for any form of words, the universe assumes heavenly dimensions, space beyond conception. In the first lively second is produced gravity and the other forces that govern physics. In less than a minute, the universe is 1,000,000,000 miles across and growing fast. There is a lot of heat now, 10 billion degrees of it, enough to begin the nuclear reactions that create the lighter elements, principally hydrogen and helium, with a dash of lithium. In 3 minutes, 98% of all the matter there is or will ever be has been produced. We have a universe. It is a place of the most wondrous and gratifying possibility, and beautiful too. And it was done in about the time it takes to make a sandwich. How closely does that fit or describe what God did? I don't know with certainty. But what I do know is that when the Bible just simply says, he spoke, there was a chain reaction of events that made this incredible universe a reality. It did not exist before. And because God just simply spoke, we're living in what he has made. On Friday, the Daily Bread that maybe a number of you read, was entitled The Maker of the Moon. And in that devotional, it names a guy by the name of Gene. And I thought I would try to claim him as a relative or something today, but you know that wouldn't work. No astronauts in my family. But he was the commander of the last Apollo mission. And I love what he says, and he's quoted in that devotional. There I was, literally on the moon, and there you are, the Earth, dynamic, overwhelming, and I felt it was just too beautiful to happen by accident. And then in that same devotional, he's quoted as also saying, there has to be somebody bigger than you and bigger than me. And so I was curious. Yesterday, maybe you happened to watch, Karen and I recorded a little bit of it, and we watched it later in the afternoon, of the space launch yesterday. What a phenomenal thing. When they did the replays during that program about the Challenger being destroyed, it took me back because I was in one of those extended stays at the hospital with Nathan. He wasn't even 1 year old yet, and I think he was in the hospital maybe 3 or 4 weeks that month. And I remember just walking back in the room. He had settled down. I'd put him on the bed, turned the TV on, and the destruction of the Challenger was the only thing that was being covered. Watching that space flight yesterday, I had this thought, glory to God. Look at what He has enabled us to figure out how to do. So revolutionary, so impressive. So I was just curious, if we were going to go on a trip today, a road trip, a space trip, and we wanted to go from Earth to the moon, here's how far we're going to travel. 238,900 miles. Now hold that thought, because I want you to track with me just a little more about what God has created. Reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. It'll be verses 25 and 26. Listen to these. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls for each of them by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. I'm only going to speak of myself right now. I have really such a small view of the United States, haven't traveled that much in it. Of the world. Haven't been outside the United States except just a few times. Then our solar system. I remember growing up as you did in school, learning the planets. But when we start talking about the universe, it gets so much bigger, so much faster. In fact, just listen to these numbers. The Milky Way, the galaxy we are in. It is estimated that the diameter of the Milky Way, somewhere between 150,000 and 200,000 light years. Just our galaxy. It's estimated in our galaxy, there's between 100 and 400 billion stars. I go outside at night, and I realize with all the lights that we have in Austin, you can't always see the sky very well. But I'm always excited when I see the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper. And yet, we're in a galaxy with billions of stars. And then the best estimate that we have is that inside the Milky Way, there are at least 100 billion planets. I feel so small. I feel so insignificant. We're not even like a drop in the bucket And as Justin read earlier, let me read that again for you right now. When I consider your heavens, God, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. Do you know it's estimated there's between 100 and 200 billion galaxies in the universe? And my mind just wants to explode. And we see society breaking down, falling apart. And I think we need to be reminded, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Tell you a simple story. Young girl, 3 years old, growing up, and her parents were atheists, no belief in God. According to this particular story, this girl had not even heard the name or the word. And yet, just like children with their incredible curiosity, one day this three-year-old asked her dad, "Where does the world come from?" I know how we'd answer that. But her dad started out and he gave kind of this little discourse, a very materialistic, non-religious perspective on maybe how all of this came to be. But to his credit, he actually went on and he said, "However, there are those who say that all this comes from a very powerful being, and they call him God." The moment that little girl heard her dad say that for the very first time, literally, she just began to literally bounce, swirl around through that room. And this is how she answered, "I knew what you told me wasn't true. It is him. It is him." And that's what I'm wanting to say to us. It is him. Our wonderful God. And I want you to think of it individually for a moment too. The book of Genesis says, "Let us create man in our own image." The coronavirus impacting the world. God knows and God cares. That video from Minneapolis. I've lived long enough. I've heard a lot and I've seen a lot. But when I watch that video, I still can't even put in words how it hit me, how it disturbed me. The officer with his knee down on another human being like that, who's already handcuffed. The other officers that just stand by so indifferently, nonchalantly. Where was the voice? We're all made in the image of God. Where's that understanding that everyone we see is someone for whom Christ died? When I started this series out a few weeks back, I put the focus on some of the other verses in this passage, and I talked about God is holy. God is just. God is love. Last week I talked about God being the ultimate truth teller. And today I'm talking about God being our creator. I'm still processing all of this. And what I do find comfort in is everything that I know to be true about God. I know that there's coming a day when God's going to make all things right. And whoever, by their own choices, find themselves on the wrong side of God, that's not going to be a good day. This little girl, I knew what you told me wasn't true. It is him. It is him. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he wrote, if there was no God, we would all be accidents, the result of astronomical random chance in the universe. You could stop reading this book because life would have no purpose or meaning or significance. There would be no right or wrong and no hope beyond your brief years here on earth. That's how a lot of people are choosing to live. That's what's being acted out in cities all across America. But that doesn't change the fact there is a God. And we have greater reasons, higher purposes in which to live our lives. Let me close with Psalm 57, verses 9 through 11. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness, reaching to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Each one of us has an opportunity each and every day to let our little light shine. And when we are being light and salt, just as Jesus has said we could be and should be, we're helping to make known God's glory. God help us as we do that. Amen. All right. Brother Bob is going to come back on and he's going to play. I'd like to just simply read this simple prayer to you as maybe a prompt for all of us as we pray. Dear God, thanks for creating me and giving me life. I want my life to be all that you want it to be. I believe Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose from the grave. Please forgive me and save me from my sins. Help me to become a devoted follower of Jesus. I want to spend the rest of my life loving you and loving others. All right, I'm trying to take a deep breath. I can't honestly say that it has been so uplifting today. I want to say it again. Just to see you to share this time with you. The music, the prayers, scripture reading. Our God is wonderful. And don't ever doubt it. And I hope we'll be so bold and just talking about our Heavenly Father, His amazing Son, and the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, with whoever we could talk with about these things, because there is so much bad news right now. If we can just turn some conversations toward the Lord, man alive, we can share a lot of good news. Speaking of good news, our first scheduled Sunday, as I put in the email, possibly at Bethel, and again, that depends on the circumstances between now and then, but it will be on Father's Day, actually, is what we're looking at, which will be June the 21st. So for sure, the next two Sundays, the Lord willing, we'll be Zooming like we are tonight. Our plans are continue with the Wednesday night Zooms and everything. So just so happy to know that God loves us and that He can supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory.